Cool. So we've started. Now yeah. It's started.
Okay.
So like a couple of just things about it. So I record it and
yeah.
But it's not like an interview. It's like, so ignore it. Like it's there, and so we don't. It's and it's not like it's not designed as something that is for other people. It's for us.
I understand.
Yeah, and also if there's something that we're talking about and you think, oh, maybe I'm not sure about that being public, then also that's fine. We just say at the end and we edit it out.
Yeah.
And like and like I would rather like we go to the places that the conversation needs to go to than we censor ourselves in that way.
I'm not worried about that.
Sure.
For
sure.
Me, I'm always I love to talk. So no worries.
Yeah.
I love to talk. So anything.
Okay.
Anything.
So I have a question that I normally start with,
yeah.
Which I mean we kind of talked a little bit about this, but maybe it's slightly different when you start saying this is the thing.
So, yep.
Which is also something that I'd normally start a day in a rehearsal with or whatever, which is just, how are you? So, how are you?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not totally in my not in my best mood. Mm-hmm. London for, what, nine months already, I suppose? Mm. Almost 9 months. I'm not as happy as I used to be, because I'm trying to find my place.
Mm.
My place here, my place in the school, my place in my course.
Yeah.
In a way, because I'm doing the MA course itself. For me, the most unlucky part, sometimes I feel, I'm the most experienced.
Mm.
So I've been in the scene for many years. You
know,
doing theatre for, 16, 17 years.
Yeah.
So going back into the school, and then you meet younger people, fresher people. It's not saying that they are no good.
Mm.
It's just that because of different backgrounds, that's the first thing, different culture, and because of the course itself is an ensemble course. So ensemble course, there's no hierarchy. It's all about devising.
Yeah, and really you should be at the top.
In a way, sometimes...
So you should bring in your tea in the morning.
Exactly.
And
I mean, in a way, you must have, I think you must have certain tools.
Mm.
You must have certain tools to actually bring in before you actually devise, in a way. But then, because of different background, I mean, that makes me feel sometimes a lot of frustration.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the first thing. And then because everyone is so new to each other, so everyone is so nice to each other.
Yeah.
You know, then honesty is one thing that is very tricky here.
Yeah.
You can't be really very honest with the person when you see something that is shit. You know, you can't say that it's shit. You have to find good ways, tactically, you have to say, okay, maybe,
And,
somehow that frustration start to generate bigger and bigger towards many things. Recently, I mean, like, you asked me, how am I? Recently, there was one day I was in a crisis. I mean, I just asked myself, why am I here in London?
Yeah.
You know, why am I doing this?
Mm.
Why am I doing this course?
Yeah.
You know, I have to go back to the very fundamental. Yeah, I wanted to get an MA.
Mm.
Yes, that's the fundamental thing. But then I started off with, I wanted to get an MA. I want to find a place that I think I can learn and enjoy myself to get an MA.
Yeah.
But then now, this part of it, it doesn't really happen for the time being. So I was really in big crisis that moment. Took me a while. The cycle comes and go, ups and down. Sometimes I think, I got it, it's fine, you know, let it go. Sometimes I feel, you know, why am I with this group of people? You know, why am I sometimes, I feel I'm babysitting this group of people,
which
I feel I don't need to do that.
Sure.
You know, I don't need to, and partly I don't really enjoy.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
And the other side of it, even sometimes you want to babysit, people hated you
to babysit them.
You know, the fight, there's a lot of struggle and fight inside me, because I don't want to deprive their learning process, but at the same time, I want to get something out of it myself.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Big fight, you know, so big fight that I sort of lost myself. You know, I lose my confidence. I don't know where am I in the course. I don't know where am I. What am I doing here? You know, the losing of the confidence is such a big thing, because I used to have this ability to have no fear about unknown. You know, I remember before I went to Paris, long before when I started off when I was a civil servant. You know, I told you my profession is civil engineering. No, you didn't know.
No.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
My profession is civil engineering.
Yeah.
I studied civil engineering.
How's that going?
Ooh. Okay, not the best kind of thing I love. You know?
And do you still do that work sometimes?
No more. It's been
lucky man. Yeah.
16 years already. It's been 16 years.
Okay.
So I was a civil servant. I work as a civil engineer. Civil engineer, assistant civil engineer. And I work for the government. I work for the government, and I gone through this this whole period where I start working for when I was 25, and then one day I feel, you know, after one year plus 2 years, I really feel that, oh shit, I really hated this job. I really hated this job. You know, the 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then every day you go there and you are overqualified, because in a big system itself, for me, doing that little things, you just need to do that little things. You don't have to do something else. That little things is enough. So what I learned, everything, so much thing I learned, I feel that I'm overqualified in a way. And I need to share with you this story. What makes me quit the job? I remember one day, I have a colleague. I was 25 or 26, I can't remember. I have a colleague who was 40 that year. One day he came, after lunch, he came back. And then he started a conversation with me. And he goes, Elvin, do you know the supermarket downstairs today, the Spam, the can of Spam, is 5 cents cheaper. He is so happy about it. I was looking at him and I start to ask myself, I say, look, when I'm 40, will I have such pleasure knowing that the Spam, the can of Spam, is 5 cents cheaper today? And I said, no. I mean, I don't deprive his pleasure. That belongs to his. You know, it's right. But I'm asking myself. I said, no. So, the next day, I tender my resignation.
Wow.
I tender my resignation.
And did you explain, it's all because of this Spam, the discount on the Spam?
I told this a lot to my students and my friends. Because I think it's a wonderful story. Because it is really something that changes my life.
Yeah,
something so important, though, that the one who actually set the fire, you know, telling you that, look, if you're gonna stay here until you're 40, that would be the only pleasure you're gonna have.
Yeah,
and I gave it up. I didn't look for a job, so I have no fear at that time about unknown. Before I decided to went to Paris, I decided 2 years before I went, because I want to save up. And that was the first time that I'm going to stay a year long in Europe.
Yeah.
I don't speak French. I don't know the language. I don't know the place. I have no idea about Europe. Nothing. But the excitement is stronger than the fear to the unknown.
Yeah, yeah.
But now, because losing the confidence, I start to have fear about unknowns.
Yeah.
I start to...
I think So for me, I think there's, you know, when you're young and you, you're very, like, you're very resilient. So like physically, but also psychologically, you know, I mean, you can crash into a wall and like you've got some bruises and you just pick yourself up and you get going, and you get older and you do the same thing and your body goes, oh, hang on a minute.
Yeah,
I can't do this anymore, you know. And I think your mind does that as well, you know. But I also think there's something about, like, I think being brave is not the same as not having fear.
Yes, yeah? I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I mean, being brave is that you know what is fear.
Yeah, it's actually, you feel that
fear. Yeah. No, I totally understand. Mm. I totally understand what you mean. It's just that that fear itself doesn't help me in a way to motivate the excitement. You know what I mean? Saying that before I went to Paris, I have fear and I know the fear. It's not that I don't know, I know about the fear, but it's just that
it's exciting.
Okay. It's exciting. Yeah. And when I decided to go to Paris, I was 37.
Right.
I was 37. I'm not young at that time. And against all odds, because people around me, I was doing more of a Chinese theatre back home. Nothing about English theatre, nothing about French theatre, and people are just looking at me saying, "What the fuck are you going to Paris for?" Yeah. I mean, it has nothing to do with you. Mm. And because I know about Philippe that time already, I mean, I have determined to go and look for somebody who I believe who can inspire me in a way. And against all odds, people are just undermining everything.
Mm.
But I said, no, that is something, that is the challenge of my life, you know.
The
fear itself motivates me. This time around, the fear itself actually start to pull me down in a way that I don't really know how am I going to handle this situation for the time being. I know for the time, I don't really know. It's
is that the first time you've kind of felt that?
It's very scary. And, you know, it actually grow and grow and grow, and it affects many things. You know, affects me, myself, my energy, my thought, my way of doing things, my mood, and part of me, I'm very much a person that many people know me as a very positive person.
Mm.
But these few months in London, there is so much negative energy in me that I mean, I hated myself. I was like, what? Why are you dropping into this mood? Finding ways. I've been finding ways to liberate myself from this thing. Which been taking quite a while, and the cycle keeps coming, the ups and downs, and sometimes you start to get bored. You start to get bored about this kind of cycle, you know. Why are you going up and down, you know? Why are you going up and down? Yeah. So if you ask me, okay, conclusion of the question, how am I feeling? Not in my best mode, but finding ways to bring myself to know where I am now, at least, you know, or to have the confidence to know that even though I'm not in the right place, I am still living my life to the fullest. I suppose. I suppose this is how I feel now. I don't feel that I'm living my life to the fullest now, because I'm uncertain, so uncertain, you know, about things, about about life, about future. You know, I used not to have that problem.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, like we talk about age. I'm 43 this year. You know,
yeah.
People so called, you know, in the society when they're 43, what their career success, you know, all this very normal kind of way of looking all this, all
yeah,
this thing.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, even in the scene when you're 43, I suppose you should be somewhere. I think so. I don't know, but then like me also. Why am I?
But it's dangerous as well, that isn't it? It's like, you know. Is that, you know, it's you could become the actor's version of the guy with the kind of spam.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
no, you're really safe in all the things you do,
yeah,
and it's all set
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
And like,
so, yeah.
But I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. I mean, I feel similar. Like, you know, I'm 34.
Yeah.
I have a kid.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, like it's. I still spend quite a lot of my life doing temp work that I don't. You know, I hate. I get nothing from. You know, apart from the means to carry on surviving, you know, and that feels really hard, you know. But then, you know, but I'm also, you know, artistically at a really exciting time, but you know, all of that as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It feels like it's a really strange thing of having, like, I had a meeting recently which was really, really cool. Really cool. Like, this is something I will take out of this because it's not a public thing, but like, you know, and then so I have that meeting, do that, and the next day I'm doing shitty temp work for someone. Do you know what I mean? So it feels really, it's a really strange disconnect.
Yeah.
So on the one level I'm going like, wow, and I'm fucking rocking it.
Yeah,
yeah. On the other level I'm barely surviving.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a really, you know, riding that is a very strange thing to have to do because you have to stay in it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You have to stay in that barely surviving until it kicks to a point.
Understand.
Where actually it's sustainable, and I'm trying to make it sustainable now.
Yeah.
That's my big, like these next kind of 2 or 3 years are about. I set up my theatre company and I start to try and get regular funding for it, all those kind of things, and then and that makes me take more control over my work, and that, you know, and so on and so on.
I think this part is very interesting because it's always the. Not I have to find the right words. Not balance, not paradox. It's always the case, you know, it affects both. You know, it's a knife with two cutting edge. For example, we talk about, as you're saying, you know, the whole mode you're in, the whole situation that you know that something is going to be, something is exciting, that is going to grow. So you feel happy. I mean, this is very important. I mean, you ask me what's the final destination of my life. I used to ask, my student used to ask me, so what's your final destination of life? I say, I think there's two very main important things in my life nowadays. Okay, first, to be happy and live the fullest every day. Second, when I'm dying, the last 3 seconds or 30 seconds, I'm lying on my sick bed, and I look back to my whole fucking life and I say, whoa, I didn't really have so much regrets in my life. I did whatever I can do. So this is my final destination. So what I mean is that being happy, not others people think what kind of happy you think, what kind of happy is, actually will bring you to a point where surviving itself is no more something that is a hardship. You know what I mean? Because when we use the word survive, in a way, people go, oh my, it's your heart, no? It's no more in a hardship move. Hardship move, because even you say survive, you use the word survive. And somehow, because of that happy mode thing, or knowing that the excitement, the happy that is leading your life, the so-called the survive thing actually... how you say it went up to the other level, which then you realize you are not just surviving anymore. Things start to really flow in. Now it really happened to me. Before I came to London, the 2 years, I didn't know that I applied for the funding, the full scholarship funding. I didn't realize that I'm going to get it, and I expected that I will not get it. So I start to work very hard. And I finished Philippe at 39. So I went to Hong Kong and Guangzhou and China for a period of time, and then I went back to Singapore. So I went back to Singapore. I'm very happy, you know, everything good, positive more. I have a goal, 2 years down the road, I'm going to be in London, you know. And when I went back, I'm a freelancer. I don't work with the data company anymore. But I, at the beginning, was a bit like, you know, trying to survive. But then later I realized, because of my happy mode and everything, it brings me to another level. I'm not surviving. I make a not the top good living. I make a how you say that? I make a fairly good living, because I start to believe in my teaching, some of the things that I've been sharing, you know, classes and everything. So I really quote the price high, because I believe it's worth it.
Yeah, yeah.
And people is willing to take it up. People is willing to take it up.
There's a funny thing that happens at some point when you're kind of. I feel like quite often I've been kind of going, hey, can I come in? I want to do this thing. Will you let me do this thing? And then one day suddenly people want this thing, and more people want it than can have it.
Yeah.
And completely changes your relationship to all the spaces you're working with.
And,
you know, and that to me is really exciting. That moment where you kind of realize that there is a, like, it doesn't have to be a monetary value, but like there is a value in what you're doing that, that means that you are no longer asking for things.
Yes.
You're being asked for things, and that's
I talk a lot about things that I share with my students. I mean, I have students that are like me now. It's funny, you know, I'm going through the mode my student is going through. They are people who I did a course for people who wanted to be pop singers. You know, they love singing. Love singing, pop singer. And then I talk a lot about hard work and everything. And then they are hardworking.
Yeah.
But then on the other side, I told them about, which is very important, where Philippe really taught me about my life in a way. It's one day, I shared this story. It's one day I was watching a TV. So this is guy who is an entrepreneur. Entrepreneur. He has this big company. I mean, he's earning a lot of money. So he said something that is so interesting that I've been sharing with my student. He said, do what you love. Love what you do. You will be the best. Once you are the best, money will come in.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
You don't believe that?
I think that's because there's a Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs said something like that as well.
Actually, many of all those people say
something. Yeah, they say that, but they say that because they're position in the system where you can erase all the other shit. All the, you know, if you're Steve Jobs, then, you know, like, oh great, I love my work and, you know, I work really hard and, you know, I deserve all the stuff that comes to me. But we don't see, so we see our Apple, but we don't see, what's the name of the company? Foxconn, who run the factories which make the, you know, and they have the suicide nets outside and,
what I mean? Like, in China, right?
You know, it's all very well to be the really rich man saying, oh, I love what you do, be the best at it, blah, 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 you know, but actually, you know, where is the space for someone working a 60-hour week for fuck all money to do that? There is no, you know, so I know lots of people, even, you know, within something creative as well, like, you know, the love is there and the commitment, or whatever, the world smashes the fuck out of people, you know, like in lots of, and maybe a little bit like how you're talking about being here does sometimes in a way, and you know, and that, and I think it's really important to see that that's not enough, and even hard work is not enough.
Mm.
Lots of people work hard, do you know what I mean? And they just get shat on for all of their lives, do you know what I mean?
Contrary of what you're saying, because I say that not because I just say that, but it happens to me on the other side of it. It really happens to me, because like we talk about before that, we talk about the mood, the this aura of this person, no, the happy mood thing, you know, it's very interesting because I mean, I myself, even though I'm going through all this negative part of situation I'm going through, but I have gone through the big period of my life with this positive part of me, which then, what really happened was, I chose theatre, because I love theatre, and with so many things, maybe I'm much luckier than the others, with so much of the love, because I love this thing, I don't feel tired about doing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You spend more hours doing it.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
You're really willing to, you know, people maybe 8 hours, people are, I'm so tired already. Mm. But no, maybe you just go 13, 14 hours, wow, you put yourself in. And somehow, the nature of everything is that the more you do it, somehow something is gonna happen.
Yeah, sometimes, but I know some brilliant actors who are lazy.
Yeah. Oh, no, you know what I mean? We totally, I totally agree. Right? Okay? That is something we say about talent.
Yeah.
You know, that there are some people who are gifted.
Yeah, yeah.
There are really some people who are gifted. That is so.
But maybe it's a skill to be lazy and brilliant.
No.
And yeah, do you know what I mean? Maybe you can learn that.
Understand. And, yeah. But then on the other side, I mean, I realized that, but it is going to life experience, you realize that you don't belong to that group. you know, somehow you realize, okay, yeah, I don't really belong to that group. You know, admit the fact, you know, you know, be honest to yourself. The fact is, you're not the kind. Okay, you're not the kind. So, what's gonna help you? You go the other way.
Yeah.
So for me, I did the other way.
Yeah.
I did the other way, and things happened. You know, really things happened to me, and okay, this is my way. This belongs to me. You know, I really love what I do. I do what I'm loving. I really love what I do. And then, because I love it, and so I'm always doing it.
Yeah,
even,
yeah,
you know, that's where the hard work comes with pleasure.
Yeah,
sure. It's really hard work, you know. Every day, I remember before I went to Philippe, every day I was working with theatre company. Every day, rise and shine, I will do 3 hours physical training myself, alone, nobody, for 1.5 years, every day.
Wow.
I have shows, I do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I do not have shows, I go back to the theatre company, we have the space, I do it.
Did it feel like work? Did it feel like...
No.
Like, exactly, because that to me is... Because I would, you know, that's the thing that I find really difficult at the moment in my life, is like, you know, Sylvie, for the last 5 days, she's waking up at like 6 in the morning, you know. So, and then I take her so that Lily can sleep a bit later, blah, 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 you know. But I don't have that. I used to have every morning, I do an hour of physical work.
Yeah.
But I there's nowhere to do that.
No
now.
Way to do that.
You know,
yeah.
And there's no space in my life for that.
Yeah.
So maybe I could find a way of making that happen, but then that would be at the expense of something else.
Yeah,
so,
you
know,
the adjustment of it. But it's very interesting because we come to talk about training, you know, because, I mean, a lot of people also ask me, my students ask me, how do you arrange that time to do something like that? So at the beginning, I say, you don't have to do it an hour or 2 hours. It's really about accumulation, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really about accumulation. It's a bit like what we say, you know, the things you do more, something will happen.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know, maybe like I was telling them, I used to share with them the sun salutation. I say each set is just 2 minutes. So every morning you woke up, do two sets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, 5 minutes, and then every day you do it, every day you do it,
yeah.
1 day is 5 minutes, 10 days is 50 minutes. So the accumulation will actually comes in, and then one day you realize it's very, very interesting because you keep doing that thing, and you start to the things start to generate, no? Because the things start to generate, and maybe you feel that maybe I need more time with it, so you extend to 10 minutes. Somehow, because like I say, it's very interesting. When you're doing this thing, it sort of helps you to expand on certain things. The slot of the 10 minutes will come in.
Yeah.
It's funny, it will come in.
Yeah.
And then you start to extend. You know, before I started the 3 hours, I didn't start with 3 hours.
Yeah.
I started off with, 20 minutes.
Hmm.
And then as you go along, you feel that you need more. And you start to sort it in. And suddenly it works into your schedule, and then you find that's why we just now we are talking about talented and being lazy. That is something that is that for me deprive a certain things called determination.
Mm.
Because if you are willing to do it, you know, with the determination, because it's going to be tired, no, every day. You know, the determination start to come in, and then that thing actually brings in more and more of the possibilities. More and more possibilities. So yeah, so I think for me, even now I don't do 3 hours anymore, because like you, I mean, I go to school, or sometimes I was at home, I don't have space at home, I don't have the luxury. So I will always try to tell myself, so alright, do the 5 minutes. It's fine, you know.
Yeah.
Do the 5 minutes, and then so I do the 5 minutes. Yeah. So you try to find back the part where every day, giving yourself that moment of telling yourself, maybe. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe, and then it will come in.
Well, school was really good for me with that. So I would get an hour early or whatever and stretch and do extra as well, and like. I felt physically, because I knew that in order to get anywhere near being not totally shy on stage, I needed to be feeling really good.
Yeah.
And you can't always trust the movement teachers to get you there.
Who was your worst? You're here. Who?
You know, you must know. You like
John?
No, Lennon Tinu. Was it? No, what were their names? The couple.
Oh, the couples.
Yeah.
Oh,
I can't remember their name.
Marion's parents, right? Ooh la 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 la.
I found that really hard. I found that really, really hard. Because I think there was a bit of like, there was an energy that I think they wanted to give us that was really at odds with the energy of the school and of Philippe. And so you just can't hold those two in the same place.
For me,
I didn't need that. I didn't need like the kind of positivity, relentless positivity, and everything you do on stage is okay. It's like, no, that's not what we're learning here.
we have a tough time with it.
But I liked them. I mean, I did like them as well. Like but I just found it. I found it hard that time.
We have a tough time with them too.
Mm. I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Especially you know that time second year. I mean, some of them are. No, it's the energy they brought in. It's all. It's a.
Doesn't fit, I think.
It's quite difficult. Quite difficult, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but so basically, we go back to the whole thing about. I mean, as I'm talking to you, no, I really appreciate this conversation, Alex, because I'm a person who loves to talk, but as I'm talking, actually, things are working for me inside also. At the same time, I'm actually sort of resolving certain things myself along the way as I'm chatting.
So this for me is like, the conversation is a model for theatre. So maybe there's a sense in which this is a piece of theatre, just for us.
Yeah.
But like, you know, and we're, you know, so we could do it well or badly in the same way, or, you know, and a bit, like you're talking about accumulation, like I would have done 52 of these when I finished.
Yeah.
You know, which is a lot of time spent in this way. And, you know, like, but also there's something about,
the consequences of theatre, say, that I'm interested in. Like, you do something and then in doing it, something changes for the people that are there.
Yeah.
Like, it lets them get somewhere that they couldn't otherwise have got to, and that's really important. And so I guess part of the skill of trying to do this, of having a conversation, like, is to try and get somewhere that you wouldn't get just thinking on your own. Because I'm shit at thinking on my own. I'm really bad. Yeah. But if I've got someone to talk to, I go, blah, 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 and then at the end of it, where, you know.
I get,
if I record it and I say I'm going to do something, I have to do it. You know, like, that's the other thing.
I fall into traps myself when I think a lot to myself. I mean, partly because I think London was, I think the unhappiness also, I've been just talking to myself for quite a while.
But do you have, like, a support network here? Like, personally, kind of thing, or...
I have one or two friends,
yeah.
Which I can share, but at the same time, now I feel sorry for them in a way, because I think every time we meet, it's not that I'm always
it's miserable Alvin again.
Yeah, I'm not. You know, you. I mean, I feel so bored myself being that person that every time we meet and then. You brag about certain things, you complain about certain things. Yeah. I hated that myself. So sometimes I would just talk to myself, and really sometimes loneliness come in a way that you're in, not in the right mode. So when you talk to yourself, you are not having a clear sense. I mean, I do meditation.
Yeah.
When I meditate as I'm talking to myself, it's a very different thing. Because you're back to the very basic mode when you meditate. You're observing your breathing, your body, everything. You don't judge certain things that come from you. It's basically like it's coming and it goes, you know. You observe what is happening. But when you're not in that mode, when you are speaking to yourself, As me, myself, I'm a very judgmental person.
Yeah.
So, you start to judge on certain things. You judge on people that you are thinking about. You start to judge yourself. You know, so many of all these things actually comes in. That makes me feel... The unhappiness is part of it because, like you say, when you don't really have a so-called a support group. And for me, like I used to say, I'm a person who loves to talk. You know, and that actually did push me to a point where I feel so difficult, you know, and unhappiness, there's no outlet.
Yeah.
In a way there's no outlet. And I can't really talk to my classmates because mainly part of my unhappiness
is them.
Came from them. Yeah. Of course, you can say that, no, Alvin, you cannot push every responsibility to others.
Yeah.
I know, I totally understand. It's all my problem. It's not their problem,
yeah.
You know? And yeah, there is a certain...
But you have a different, you know, I think there's something about, like, if you feel you're coming from very different places, it's hard to meet, you know? And that's kind of the thing about, say, an ensemble or something. You're seeing people, you're seeing how people live. When you watch it, a beautiful ensemble performance, and you're seeing how people live together. You're seeing that embodied in this
the
moment
whole
on
piece,
stage.
Yes.
Yeah, and but actually, I mean, this is another part of what this project for me is. It's like we don't normally meet in any meaningful sense. You know, like the part of our lives that touches is so tiny. Like, you know, so until today. I didn't know that story about you, which is so key to you. Yeah, which is so, and that's so beautiful, and so much makes sense about you within that story as well.
No?
Yeah, yeah, but we don't. We just kind of go, oh, hey, where are you from?
Yeah.
What do you do? You know, oh, right, that's interesting. What do you think about this thing?
Yeah.
You know, but actually, if so much of what we're kind of in the business of trying to do is find really full and meaningful ways of meeting, of spending time together, and I think that's And that's a hard thing to do. And I think, you know, like, so maybe I think you definitely feel like you really meet people, say, at Goliath, because you see everyone so stripped back.
Yes.
But also you only see this bit of them as well. So yeah. You kind of, I think there's a real difficulty, say, of like, if you're someone who's really good there, like, and then you go out into the world and the world is different. It doesn't operate like this.
Yeah.
You know, I think, like, so, I like someone like Trigvi, he took him ages before he made his show, which is beautiful.
Yeah, the
a long time, you
the
know.
Squid, the Squid. I didn't even see that show yet.
Oh, it's great.
Really?
It's really great.
Boy?
It's really
yeah.
beautiful. And he's got a new one now as well. It's just.
But he's doing it now in just Australia, New Zealand, no?
Yeah,
he's
yeah, but that's the new one. That's the new one. Yeah. But I think it comes here soon.
Yeah, oh.
I'm not sure. No, really, I'm not sure. Yeah. I hope so. But yeah, it was really beautiful seeing his. Seeing that fully come to life, and like, because I saw a really early version, and it was, you know, like,
yeah, I understand that.
But yeah, but then you see, you know, I think he's really, you know, found himself in this world.
And I think you point out the very interesting part, because with Philip, there is at least in the class, you see honesty. You see the actor being honest in a way.
Mm.
Whether he or she is fighting with Philip, or he or she is actually absorbing what Philip is giving
yeah, yeah.
him or her. There is this beautiful honesty
yeah.
that me, I mean, for most of us, at least for me, that I truly believe that should be in a performer, no matter what he or she is doing on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that is the...
It's the person dealing with the thing right there in front of you.
Yes, yes.
Not like an idea of the thing.
Yeah,
or like,
no.
Like, but they're actually there dealing with what it means to be there in front of you
yes,
on stage.
Yes.
With whatever words you're doing, whatever
yes.
costume you have.
Yes.
But like you're kind of like, and it's not being on stage in this kind of abstract sense. It's
no.
it's
being
in front of the people
yes,
who are here
on
now.
Stage.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah. And dealing with what it might mean to fuck that up.
Yes.
you know,
I mean
like,
that's for me that's the beauty, right? That's that's the diamond of it. That's the diamond of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, like I say, because if you were not meeting people with speaking that same languages, the problems start to come. You know, I mean, you start to feel...
But I think there's lots of people who don't speak that language but do have the spirit of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
Know? And then there is no problem. It's not so much about... I don't think it's just about the language. I think it's also about, like, but do people really want that? Do you know what
yeah.
I mean? So I'm sometimes really surprised because I might put something on stage, which I think is, like, it's this delicate thing. It's really, so it's really live and it's really obviously delicate. It could break, you know, like, and that to me is really important in my work, that, like, a fragility, which is, you know, if I made it so that it, if I made it so that there was no way that it could go wrong, then it would be dead for me.
Okay.
Yeah, like, it would be, that would be the just, oh, we do the character form, but what we, you know, but the, but because it's something that needs to be negotiated in the moment with the people who are there, then it's totally live and contingent on all the people being there, and you know, and it lives with people. It lives with the people, the audience who come in a totally new way with that particular audience.
Okay.
Which doesn't mean, you know, it changes every night in that kind of,
no,
you know, like,
I
it could be the same words and the same action in the
mean,
same
yeah.
order, you know. But I also think, actually, a lot of people don't want that. They don't want that. They, you know, they would rather have a safe. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember one time, like, when I was doing some other temp job and talked to someone about, and they were going to the theatre and they were talking about the thing that they were going to see, and I was like, and I was talking about the thing I was going to see, and they were going to see some West End thing or whatever, and I can't remember what I was seeing, but I was saying, well, I don't know what it will be like. I'm not, if I knew, then I wouldn't want to go. Mm. And she said, oh no, I definitely want to know before I go. Do you know what I mean? Like, and that gap, I think, is unbridgeable.
Yeah.
I don't think we will never agree about the value of something,
yes.
Me and that person.
Yes.
Even though maybe we would see something and I would see it in a different way and she might like it and I might like it, but actually the thing that I value is not, you know, I saw Matilda, like the big West End musical thing. And, you know, I was really, really excited because I heard so many good things about it and for me, like, and it was impressive, you know, like it was, there was lots of impressive things in it. But for me, it just, I felt like I was watching a machine. You know, a machine built to impress you.
Understand.
Yeah, and one or two actors in it, they elevated it. They were really live, in the way they played with the audience. But it totally did the thing that it needed to do. But I wonder if it would have been as successful if it had done the thing that I was more interested in.
Wow.
You know, maybe not. Maybe not. So maybe I will never be rich. That is what I'm saying.
That is the thing that we come to talk about theatre. That recently I've been through this whole process with the group, and I realised it's the way of your choice of making theatre. There's no right or wrong, because different people has different way of making theatre. Background culture affects a lot. I come from Singapore. Singapore is a safe country. Singapore is very, you know, everything is systematic, it's very efficient, everything, So what happened to
me... The price of spam is constant.
To me is that it actually affects me about me when I do theatre. I do have the sense of structure myself. I have the structure part that comes in. But then finding ways to be free in the structure.
But I think I always see you as like a trickster within that.
Trickster
figure. So like, you're always subverting the thing. You twist it. You poke at it, and you laugh at it a little bit, and you go, you know, I think you have that in your presence. Yeah. So you don't go, oh, I break down the system. But you go, the system. But if I do this, does that break the system? Do you have to? You know, does that make it?
Understand
what I mean?
Yeah.
You have that.
Very much. That comes a lot from Philip. Actually, that comes a lot from Philip. Where I actually learn from him. That comes a lot from him in a way, because I used not to be a person like that. You know, I'm a civil servant. Look. Alex, I'm a civil servant. I was in a moment where find a good job, get a family, get a car, get a house. You know, I was in that mode. I mean, it's very so difficult to break away from that, because you grew up in the education system, grew up in the whole system.
But that everything is designed to funnel you into that.
Yes,
you know, like there are lots of ways that we're disciplined into wanting certain things, or behaving in certain ways.
So to actually channel you to that thing, and then like we were saying that. So when I do with the group of people, my ensemble group, sometimes to really find the balance. I mean, in a way, I don't really feel safe with nothing. So there are people, let's devise, let's do it, and feel safe with nothing, and I don't feel safe. I will feel. I would suggest that. Maybe we have some checkpoints. You know, let's have some checkpoints, you know, have some checkpoints. And of course, being open to give yourself the allowance that maybe along the way you realize that this checkpoint is unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Giving that. But I can't do it with blank thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very me. But it's my way. That's no right.
I think also maybe that it might be hard for you to be the experienced one and the oldest one, and for me, if I had an ensemble or whatever and they were like quite straight, I would bring you in to fuck things up. But it's hard to be the senior one who fucks things up. Do you know what I mean? Like you. You need a someone up there to be going, wow, do you know, like,
understand, I don't know, in a way, like, sometimes I feel it's a big struggle every time I talk about this. Sometimes I feel, I believe, that's what I believe. I believe what is beautiful, in a way, is beautiful. Okay, I'm going to explain this. Artistically, we may have different choices.
Mm-hmm.
Artistically, we may have different choices or different perspective about it because we come from different culture, different background, different training. But what is beautiful is beautiful. You don't run away from that. You can't, because when beauty comes to the very fundamental things we talk about, humanity, when we talk about certain honesty thing, it is beautiful. You know, never, whether you like it or you hate it, it is beautiful. You can't deny that, which I truly believe. For example, we I mean, it's just my top.
But maybe the five, for someone, the five cents of the span is the beautiful thing. Do you know what I mean? And for you, that's the thing that makes me go, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the... I sort of... A bit of me wants to really agree with that, and a bit of me wants to say, no, this is really specific to... These are political questions.
You think
what
it's
beautiful is a political question?
It's a political question.
Yeah. And we can be manipulated into finding this beautiful or this beautiful. And... So I might find. So I went to see. He's called Toriko, which is made by. It basically what they do it is the budget. Do you know like the budget they do here? So, in every year, the chancellor, the guy who deals in the government, who deals with the money, does the budget, and he says, "Oh, we spend this much on this.
Okay.
We bring in this tax. We did it."
Okay.
And at the moment, it's the Tories in the right wing government. I saw this piece, which is the budget speech performed as a piece of death metal.
Wow!
Yeah, like as a and they do it because for them, and I agree. the only. Appropriate way of hearing those words is the only honest way of hearing those words is underscored with a sound of pure evil. And for me, being in that room, like, so the sound is quite horrible, actually. Like, it's deliberately an unpleasant noise, you know, and the quality of it is aggressive and, you know, and so on one level, like, there are lots of people that would just hear that noise and find it unpleasant. It's not a pleasant thing to spend time with. It's not meant to be pleasant. That's okay, you know, but so they would not want it. They would not, you know, but also, like, I felt very grateful for being in a room full of people who were feeling the same anger and the same hurt and despair and a rage, but also a rage that could only be articulated in actually what sounds kind of like inarticulate. Sounds like a howl of despair, you know. Right now, that's where I feel like, for me and other people that share a politics with me, I think that's where I feel we are. And it was important to be in that room and to feel that and to look at the other people in the room and see them feeling it. So it's kind of, it's like, although it's like a gig, actually it's more like theatre. All the people who make it are theatre makers.
Okay.
And they're, you know, and it feels like theatre more than it feels like going to see a band.
I understand.
And to me, I find that very beautiful. Very, very beautiful.
Mm.
but it's very beautiful in a really specific way, specific to
yes,
the moment we are in right now,
yes,
and the we that I talk about, when,
yes,
like that we, like I don't know if you could share that yes, we, because this is not your country.
Yeah, I know what you're talking. Yeah,
and I don't know if even and so for sure, someone who politically was on the side of the really evil,
feel that is, you know, is really is
they
really
wouldn't find
really,
that
yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah.
But also maybe you wouldn't, you'd look
yeah,
at that
maybe,
room and go,
yeah,
what the fuck is going on
yeah,
here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why are these, you know, and you might not, you might, because I think you, you know, because you might see it in, as theatre, you might see
yeah,
the connections that are
some
happening in that
things,
room, you know.
I bring it back to what we, I mean like why we, I think why we love Philip so much.
Mm.
I mean that is something
yeah, love
that,
hate, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
the,
yeah, 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 love hate, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I love him more than I hate him, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In a way for me.
Yeah.
Many times in his class when I see he work with that person, no matter from what culture, what background, you look at it, that you find a certain fundamental
yeah,
beauty
yeah, yeah,
in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is, for me, I feel is undeniable.
Yeah.
No matter
yeah, yeah, yeah,
from what angle you look at it, that is the thing.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, mm-hmm, that's why he talk a lot about humanity.
Yeah.
And I think...
But I think... So sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
But I think that is, like, for me, he teaches... to be an actor, to be a performer, like the beauty in that I see that, but that is not the same as art. It's not the same as a, you know, like, so you could see a really beautiful actor in a fucking terrible play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you go, oh, that was so fucking cool. But that actor
is
beautiful.
Beautiful. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to see that actor again.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's what we maybe talk about there.
So, for me, when we are devising, that for me is something that is pretty hard sometimes in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when I look at my classmates, or when we are devising with certain things, which I truly believe, maybe we have to come from there, maybe. You know, the part where the actor can...
Yeah, yeah.
Can deliver that thing, and then to sort of from there you expand it, maybe I don't know, from there outside. When working with them, sometimes the feeling is that somehow they can't see that.
Yeah, sure.
You know.
But I think you can't until you've, you know, like
until
the fight. You know, a year with Philippe, 2 years with, you know,
yeah,
3 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, how long does that take?
I,
you
know,
that struggle, that fight.
At the beginning,
how much
was
does it hurt
yeah,
as well?
Yeah,
yeah. Like, and I think.
Yeah, I have to be more gracious about it, no?
But I think, you can't make. But I mean, you can't make. I think a thing that I learned a lot from Philippe as well is like you can't. You can't do more than open the door for someone. It is their choice whether they then step through it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's really key for me as a director now. Like, I used to like, my productions, they would be like, meticulous. You know, like, bah, 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 like, and we would, and every line and every word would be, We would know how to get from one word to the next word.
Yeah.
You know, like the whole of the logic, the whole of blah, 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 blah. And every. But also, like, I would have been with the actors so much in rehearsal, and I'd be pushing so much, push.
Know
that, and then they'd get on stage sometimes, and I wasn't there anymore. And they'd be lost. They still wanted me there to carry them, you know. And actually, I needed to have gone much earlier. I mean, you have gone, no, you're going to be without me. You're going to be, no, like, I cannot give you everything. I can just open doors for you. And I keep opening doors, but I can't make you go through them. And so, and maybe if
and maybe I'm opening the wrong door as well. If you don't go through it, maybe that's not your door right now. So I open. So we try a different one. And but I think, but maybe that's not what the ensemble is. You know what the you can be. I think you could still be the beautiful actor in the ensemble, the one who they go, that's the actor. That's the one who's got 2 years of Gaulier in him, and you know, like all of this pleasure and all of the. But and you can't. And as an actor on stage with someone, you can make offers to people, but you can't do more than that. You have less power than the director, and the director's got fuck all power. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's actually fundamentally the director. Like, I can say, "Oh, you do this at this time." Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. They don't want to do it. They won't do it. You know. But the there's something about what's the other bit of the meeting? Maybe that's the interesting question. Mm. You can't change every actor you work with. Mm. Maybe like as a director, if I work with someone for 2 years, or you know, I work with someone for 2 years and I have a thing and I say no, like, and every time they do it, I'm like, no. But it takes a long time to and they have to want to as well to change, to make that change. I don't know.
No, it's very yeah. important. I mean, like I was saying, the conversation is important because you sort of remind me certain things, because I was talking to my friend that day about why I feel so uncomfortable fighting the deprying of the learning thing.
Because fighting the what, sorry?
Deprying them to learn. To deprive my group of people to learn.
Yeah, yeah.
Because for me, as when I am a teacher myself, I'm really like what you say, because that is what I learned from Vicky. I'm really a person who is responsible and irresponsible at the same time. The responsible part is that I'm gonna give you the best of me.
Yeah.
The irresponsible part is that whether you wanna take it, it's not my fucking problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Take it or leave it, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna be responsible myself to give every best of me. But with this group, I didn't manage to do it. I didn't manage to do it. I don't know. I didn't have the answer. It's just that maybe I'm not in the, I didn't find my place there, you know, because as a teacher, which I truly feel that that's my place, you know, that's where I'm going to be.
Yeah,
that's where I'm going to be. But in the group, I couldn't find that. I couldn't find that. And yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm just, but it's very interesting because you will remind me. Maybe I'm trying to push them into the door, which it's all right. I mean, I just...
But maybe they go through the door in 5 years, you know, as well. That's another thing. Like, I never feel like, easy about it, because when you put something in front of people, I want it to be the best. I want it to be, but I don't, but I'm much easier now about not needing the people I work with to have, like, I need them to want to go on the journey or whatever, but like, to be brave with it, to like, you know, to take on the struggle. But I don't mind, as long as they do that, I don't mind where that leads to.
Okay.
Because that, I think their struggle, when I see something on stage and I see, even if I see that struggle, I that's something. For me, I might see a show that's not in itself like good, but I see that it's part of a journey. If I see that, then I'm kind of on board with it quite often.
Wow.
Even if like it doesn't have all of those qualities and the actors aren't like at their most beautiful, you know, like if I see the spark of it, that feels to me like I'm more excited by that than by the machine, you know. And by the big impressive thing.
No, I understand about the machine. I don't know. Maybe I'm not as gracious as you. Because, yeah. Because I mean, I...
No, but I don't think it's your role to be gracious as well. This is my thing. So for me, I don't want you to be gracious. Yeah, like... I think you should be a bit of a fucker.
I went to theatre in London for this. I watched quite a few productions already. They're good ones. They're not top good ones. I still don't feel that inspired. I don't know, because like people is asking me, so Alvin, what are you going to do after you graduate? You're going to stay in London or what? I say till now I didn't find a good reason for me to stay here because I don't think that things here, the production here, did inspire me. I don't know. I couldn't find the best reason. All I could say is that there are some productions that I finished watching, I thought, oh wow, it's really enjoyable, good production. There are quite a lot of production, I saw it, I said, oh shit, it's so shitty, you know, oh, waste of time, you know, all this thing. I don't know. I mean, for me, that is what is happening to me now, where we talk about being gracious, no? But like you say, you know, you can be very gracious. I mean, I can't, no? When I walk into a theatre, somehow, some of the things I see, I just go, oh, this is so bad.
Yeah, but I do that too. I do, you know, like, I'm not like...
It's so bad. I remember I told you I went to watch a play called The Chelsea Hotel. It's in the River House Theatre. I still remember. When you see first 5 minutes, I go inside. Oh fuck! And you have to stay for before the interval. Right after the interval, I'm gone.
Yeah.
I say, no more for me. I say it's really shitty. But then, you know, that is some of the time where I talk about not being gracious. When you talk to some of the friend, classmate, who watch it together, and they say, wow, it's quite good. And you just go, no, it's bad. It's fucking shit.
Yeah.
And I can find 10,000 reasons for that.
Yeah.
But then you know, that's...
But they maybe they need something else from going to the theatre to what you need. Maybe. Yeah. Like maybe I would watch it and I would be the same as you, yeah. But maybe, you know, if like, there's, like for me, I sometimes I watch things and I don't just hate the show, I hate the audience for liking it. You know? So you talk about gracious, like for me, I'm like, no, fuck you. But fuck you all, even more. Yeah, like I really do, and then I feel really.
I went back. I really have the crisis, and that few days, because we're actually presenting. We did a presentation for the ensemble group in our school symposium. But the few days, I was totally not happy, because I just feel that, you know, like I say, the question, why, what am I doing here with this group of people? What am I doing here with this group of people? And if you can tell me that is a good production, I doubt it so much that, like I say, I lose confidence. You know, Alex, am I having a problem now? Am I having a big problem now that I don't even know? I start to question myself. You know, I start to question my ability to see or to understand to know what is good theatre. But I don't know, I mean, some part of me inside me telling me, that's not true, Alvin. You have the ability. That's not true. But then right in front of you where all these things happened, you know, like we talk about devising with the group and everything, then you realise that no, they didn't see it, but then they think it's alright. And you're being put in a place where suddenly...
But have they been on, you know, like, on stage a lot, do you think?
Sorry?
Like, have they been on stage a lot outside of an academic context?
I think some of them. I mean, even like this girl who did this monologue. I mean, she went to Edinburgh. She's more of a dance-based actress. Yeah. No, really, sometimes I did come to the conclusion that they are too young. Mm. But it's so hard when working in a group, you know. It's so hard to have that judgment now.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to have that judgment now. You know, the first term was so difficult. There's 18 of us.
Yeah, yeah.
We did a presentation. By the end, we did a presentation where many different small pieces, we put it together. There are some pieces that you know that is totally shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then, like I say, you can't deprive them from learning.
So we come from somewhere where the thing is on stage and that's the thing. Do you know what I mean? Where you're expected to get up and you do the thing and you do it fucking brilliantly straight away. You know? Like, or you fuck off.
Yeah, no question about it.
There's no in between.
Yeah.
But also there's no sense of, like, you put something on the stage which is a step towards. Yeah?
Yes.
That's very good. So I think quite often, you know, I spend time in a rehearsal room or whatever, or sometimes you do a work in progress performance or whatever. It's kind of shit. Do you know what I mean? It is like sometimes, like, if you're working 8 hours a day for 4 weeks on something, then, you know, if you get one good hour a day, you've had a good rehearsal period, I'd say.
Mm.
You know, so you have to make sure you don't spend too much. You've got to take a lot of coffee breaks, because otherwise, you know, you use up your one good hour too early, and then, you know, you save it up. So you have that, and you have one, you know, in a week you have one moment where everything just goes, whoosh, and you think, oh, that was a good week,
yeah.
And we won that week, yeah? And I think, like, in the context of creating some performance, it's in a university, then... No, I don't even think that. I think, like, actually, and there's a lot of people, and I don't know how much I agree with this, but so, like, I did a workshop with Goat Island years and years ago, like, mm-hmm. just a short workshop with, so they're New York experimental theatre company, like, I never saw any of their work, they just happened to be at the National Student Drama Festival when I was there, and I did a little workshop with them, and they said this thing, like, they're meant to be amazing, you know, they said this thing of like that when someone has an idea and you do the thing, you know, it doesn't matter if it doesn't work or whatever, but like you do it, it's not a bad idea yet. Yeah? When you've worked on it for, you know, a year, then maybe you know if it's a good idea or a bad idea. Yeah? Like, and I think that's kind of a lot of. So we have this thing, but I think the thing that Philippe gives us is different. It's different to the thing of like, I'll generate material, I'll do this, you know, like, I think the people who come and have that in them and have that maybe released a little bit by Philippe, they had that there already, you know, they could write a bit already, or they could, you know, like, and maybe he kicks some bullshit out of them, but like,
yeah.
But I don't know that the